Hello and welcome. I want to talk in this video about male pain, the demons men face psychologically. I saw a film recently called The Grey and starred Liam Neeson, and is based on a novel by Ian Jeffers. And I'd suggest you watch the film first before listening to this video, as there's going to be spoilers. But Neeson's character, he's John Ottaway. He works at a remote petroleum refinery in Alaska, and his job is to kill any wildlife that encroaches on the camp. It's obvious that Ottaway has military experience. He's a keen sniper. He's very sharp survival skills. Now, I originally avoided this movie as I thought it'd be just another generic thriller, but it turned out to be one of the most insightful depictions of male depression I've ever seen on film. And the dialogue it spares. When men speak in the film, it's generally with purpose and conviction. And the movie opens with a voiceover by Ottaway. He's experiencing guilt, very severe depression. And there are flashbacks to him laying in bed with his wife, who we find out later has died from illness. And we see John as an outcast from the other men, men who he describes as ex-cons, drifters, men unfit for mankind. He sees his place here as a form of punishment, stating, "I move like the damned do. This is where I belong. I feel like it's me, the bad luck, poison. And I stopped doing the world any real good a long time ago." He's lost inside himself, he's locked in a solitary prison. We see him, he pens a suicide note to his dead wife, and later, kneeling in the snow with his rifle in his mouth, he has flashbacks to his father pointing to a poem on the wall in their old home. And the words of that poem have haunted Ottaway his whole life, which he doesn't reconcile until the end of the film. And he's confused. He's saying, "I don't know why I've done half the things I've done." So he has regret for actions in the past, and this is a self-imposed penance. And Ottaway, he stops short of killing himself. He then boards a plane back home with the other men, and the plane crashes in the wilderness. And the film then becomes a journey of their survival, battling the harsh elements, and a pack of wolves who pursue them relentlessly. In the film itself, it can be seen as a metaphor for male grief and depression. And there's theories that that these men, that they're in fact dead, that they're perhaps in purgatory. That they need to first pay penance for their sins, or that the elements and the wolves are actually the elements of pain, grief, and regret that Ottaway is afflicted with. And there's a weight that Neeson carries on him in this role, and not least due to the fact that his wife had died shortly before making this film. I think it was only a few months. And this is without doubt his most realistic and pained performance. He's reconciling his pain, and it showed. And also with men, I mean older men, you see it. You see, they carry a weight on them. It's hard to describe, but it's a gravitas. It's a man who's fully transitioned, and not into some stereotypical definition of manhood, but it's just that there's a depth there, a strength of character, and it commands respect. You can spot a man like this by the way he carries himself. The instant respect or caution that people display towards him. And this depth that's accumulated over a lifetime of pain and experiences. These men, they've faced their demons. There's a story there. And what you see in this film is how depression for men, it's a solitary battle. And no one will reach out to a man in this state. And that man will push away everyone, just as Ottaway does. Even though he's trying to save these men, he's leading them to their inevitable death. One by one, they're cut down by wolves. And all the while, he's wrestling with grief. And this is a weight of grief that we never discuss. But it's a heavy burden that men bear. It's compounded by all the messages and isolation that men experience. So leaving this world, it can seem a preferable option for a man. And Ottaway, he felt this woman, his wife, had validated his existence, and nothing before her mattered. Her validation made him feel he was worthy of life. Now without her, he feels worthless. And it isn't just the grief he's wrestling with here, but a lifetime of feelings of low self-worth. Yeah, he's now regressing to his default state before he met her. And when faced with this survival situation, he sees this as his path to redemption. His life suddenly has purpose again. And he's a natural leader. He's almost a paternal figure. The men respect him. And there's a shit kicker in the group. It's an ex-con named Diaz. He's a great character. But he tests Ottaway, challenging him to fight and throw down. But that's Diaz's way of finding a sense of security in Ottaway, to see if he measures up to the task. But Diaz, he wants to be put in his place. He doesn't want to be a leader. He wants to be convinced. And I've had this with many men in my life. You stand up to them, and they will walk over hot coals for you. They'll give you instant respect. And I've had this from some very hard men. And men like this, they need another man's strength and his leadership. They need a father figure. Someone to believe in. In the most poignant scene in the film, and a film with so many action set pieces, was of the men just sitting around a campfire, acknowledging that death is probably inevitable, and they start sharing stories of what they miss the most. And Ottaway, he speaks of his father, who he states was a barroom brawler, a man who never shed a tear and saw weakness everywhere. But he states his father had a passion for poetry. He says it was his father's way of apologizing. And Ottaway, he recites a poem his father wrote, that he could never make full sense of it. Four lines, which read, "Once more into the fray, into the last good fight I'll ever know. Live and die on this day. Live and die on this day." For most of my life, I was as confused as Ottaway's character as to my motives, why I'd done the things I'd done. And I blame myself, like many men. But men, they'll sacrifice without question, as they see honor and respect as something bestowed on them, rather than as an internal process of self-acceptance. And it's often repeated, but it's true. There are no male spaces left. And you can find them at the bottom of a methane mine, or a deep sea fishing vessel, or a prison yard, but like you see in the film, this is the first time these men have ever opened up to other men on a deeper level. They had to be put in these extremes before facing their truths. The irony being, they're terrified. They're exposed to freezing cold elements, being torn apart one by one by wolves, and only in this place do they feel safe enough to open up and confide in one another. In Ottaway, he's haunted by his wife's death, and the loss of a female partner can be devastating. Memories of her, how you idealize who she was, and how other things cloud this memory. And you do, you can see her in another woman. And this can be a trap that many men have fallen into. Because as a man, you can become isolated. And there's often no support structures for a man when he loses his wife. She was it. So loneliness can set in, and it brings a flood of memories back. Simple things like touch and closeness you experience with a partner. It can bring the hurt. And it's all too easy as a man just to say, to hell with it. I'm going to numb my pain and act out. But it's hard to maintain a handle on something if you repress and ignore it. And a man's actions, as long as he's working towards empowering himself and remains aware of the risks, that man should never be shamed or criticized for making a logical choice in the face of such bias, in the face of all these risks. All that men have been through, the loss of children, the loss of time, experiences, the loss of finances, and so on, It's a loss many will never comprehend and fewer even acknowledge. Our man loses his kids. The old adage trotted out is still, well, most men don't want to be around their children. He's just another deadbeat dad. The strongest bond a man has is with his biological children, and we're sick of people dismissing it or minimizing it. I mean, the anger, the frustration and the pain from this loss, it's enough to make a man shut the door forever on new experiences and any form of emotional connection. And it's perfectly understandable. Now, I've seen men do this, self-punish, isolate themselves for years, or hurt themselves to pay penance. Now, I've sat across from many men, so many men, trying to get them to just say out loud that they're a worthwhile person and deserving of what life has to offer. And 9 times out of 10, it's like pulling teeth. So no matter what pain you inflict on a man, he will punish himself 100 times harder. And the pain men endure, it's a cumulative lifetime effect. It's not something that many, many people, even online, have discussed or acknowledged at length, and still barely touched on. If you look online, for example, there's a constant focus on women, yes, but male pain, not so much. And it's that uncomfortable elephant in the room. Yeah, admission of vulnerability, it's too daunting for most men. And when a man does express his vulnerability, all that's trotted out is shaming. That if men aren't walking a traditional path, if they're not manning up, you know, that they're not a real man, or whatever label you want to insert here. But what many never acknowledge is the strength it takes to keep going, even in the face of such loss and pain. It's remarkable. And it shows how strong the constitution of men is, and the compassion and empathy they still possess, even after all these attacks. You know, their anger, their guilt, their pain, their regret, they're all profound, and they're at war with it. But still, their compassion remains. And unfortunately, many times, so does their idealism. But we have no right to shame men who have been through this, unless we've walked in their shoes. And in truth, if you did, it would break you. Now, there's the old adage, you never know unless you ask. Well, we've never even put the question to men. All we do is accuse and blame. Now, I've never lost a child, but I've seen what effect this grief has on men. And yeah, I've lost people close to me. And you lose someone who you shared such deep experiences with. It can come to the point of having a shared identity. And this is especially true for many men. And when you lose that, you get caught in a cycle of just endless bereavement. There's no joy in life. And for many, everything becomes a blur. You know, the memories of the past, without that person, they're lost. And all there is just memories of shared experiences with that person, and especially events leading up to their death. And there's been studies relating to the selective impairment of memory. And from first-hand experiences, it seems to be the case with many men. And what men experience when they lose a partner is a profound loss of identity. And you look at the wolves in the film The Grey, and you look at what they represent. And to me, they represent grief, identity, shame, guilt, personal truth, all of which have been kept at bay during the time that Ottaway was with his wife. Now, these wolves, they're his own personal demons that he's never faced. And the wolves that were always circling, but they couldn't attack because Ottaway had found a validation and purpose through his wife. And he was afforded a reprieve from these emotions and this pain when he was with her. But without her, those feelings of worthlessness, that lack of identity outside a traditional male gender construct, that grief for the partner he lost, and the grief for all he lost in terms of experiences in life, you know, due to walking the path of traditional manhood, all of that leads to a point where Ottaway has to literally face the incarnation of death. And in the final moments of the film, when he faces the alpha of the pack, He's facing himself. He's confronting his grief and his pain. And we all have flashbacks to memories, things that haunt us, things we feel shame or guilt for, or things we feel joy and happiness for. And these painful memories, they're a chance to acknowledge that pain, to express emotion and forgive yourself. And men who are questioning their roles in society, who are charting their own course and walking away from traditional expectations and gender stereotypes, those men are constantly attacked. They're called every name in the book just to get them to conform. And in the process, their anger is invalidated. But with realization comes the knowledge that we as men, we've been lied to, we've been marginalized, and we're facing undue risks and discrimination. And with this knowledge comes the need to find resolution. Because harboring resentment, it robs a person of life experiences. But there comes a point when a man has to forgive for the sake of his own health, and not to appease anyone, but for him. And in order for that to happen, we need to experience anger and all the associated emotions. And this isn't about victimhood. I mean, we've all been hurt. Trauma is a part of life. Me, I wear my scars proudly. Proudly, they're visible to the world. I own that. And I've experienced tremendous personal hurt in my life. And I've hurt many in turn. But my story isn't unique. This is the male path. The claim that men who are going their own way have been hurt by their mothers, or that they've been rejected by little Tina down the lane, I mean, this is peripheral shit. This goes far deeper than that. I mean, you think of victim-offender mediations. You know, the offender asking for forgiveness from those they wronged. But there can't be forgiveness without expression of those emotions. You have to feel that pain and that rage in the marrow of your bones before you can forgive. Yeah, the offender experiences discomfort in this stage, obviously. And they want forgiveness to alleviate their own discomfort. And they may also feel further remorse for the person they've wronged. And they may feel in this moment that they're hurting that person even more. But if you give space for those emotions to be expressed and acknowledge them as valid, resolution is a much smoother, much faster process. But for the vast majority of men, I mean, this plea for forgiveness, it will never come. And most either refuse to accept or are just ignorant of the hurt that's been inflicted on men. And here, a man has to let go. And he doesn't have to excuse the offense, but it's about moving on, you know, realizing our own value and just leaving them to it. Now, forgiveness should never be for the one who wronged you. It's for you. It's taking your power back. I see fathers today, fathers who have been stripped of parental rights by the courts. Many have been stripped of the will to live. But their life is meaningful. Their contribution means a great deal to many people, but it's never recognized. It's only expected. If you've seen a father facing the loss of a child, you see a man shunted to one side, denied the right to grieve. The expectation men carry on their shoulders from boyhood to repress their emotion, to man up, to soldier on, to be the emotional crutch for their partner, you know, supporting her through her experience of grief. These men are not supported. Their grief is not acknowledged. It's always a case of chin up, stay strong, and a pat on the back while he knuckles down back at the office or down the mine, like nothing happened. Everyone just keeps their distance, and they limit their interaction with him. You know, limit it to just an occasional pitiful look. And on this basis, with this lack of support, this disregard of male pain, most men don't move past bereavement. They don't get to truly mourn. They're cast aside. They're forgotten about. Yeah, I recall a quote by Hemingway. It read, "You're so brave and quiet, I forgot you were suffering." While in mourning, when you're in mourning, if you have the right support, if things are progressing, you still see light at the end of the tunnel, and you accept the support of others. In depression, on the other hand, it can be crippling. You push people away, you isolate yourself. And in this regard, all too often, there's little differentiation between the two for men. And in the face of grief, after the loss of a child or a partner, or grief from personal wounds, it's common to question priorities and beliefs, and this is good. But it's all too common for men to seek out solace in all the wrong ways. Men can't face their pain until the shaming stops, or until they come to a point where they feel safe to confront and express their pain, by sharing their stories with other men and finding support. And what you've lost, it's gone forever. You can't get it back. The only option left is to restructure your priorities and find meaning by creating a new identity, an independent one. And you can't do that when conforming to gender stereotypes and expectations. In Ottaway, he faced his demons head on. And in the final moments of that film, his father's poem finally hit home for him. To live and die on this day. It means to let go of the past, to put it to rest, and make peace with it, and to find forgiveness and face a future. And to be alive on your own terms, and stand your ground and forge your own path. To live free.